Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank my son for that awesome lesson he gave us about knowing our Father. And it brought to mind a word that I look back in my youth. The word is trust. This question is for all the little children in the audience this morning. Do you trust your daddy? Brighton, do you trust your daddy? Of course you do. When we were little, whatever our daddy said, it was a no-brainer for us, wasn't it? We trusted our father, didn't we? But something happened. Something happened. We grew up and all of a sudden thought we had the answers and we didn't need to trust our daddy anymore, did we? So Josh's lesson brought to mind about knowing our father the word trust. We as adults now, we need to trust our Father in heaven more than we ever thought we needed to, because that word is an important word in our lives as Christians. This morning, something else hit me while I was sitting up there drinking my coffee in the house and looked out and see the snowfall and just the white everywhere and just the stillness brought to mind peace. And many of us here have been in deep snow, and you can almost hear a pin drop, snowfall, just really peaceful. But there's a secret that I'm going to share with you this morning, and every secret has a formula. We all know that. There's always something. What secret is it? Well, why is it such a secret? Well, to the world, God's peace is a secret. They don't understand it. They don't understand what God's peace is. The world looks at everyday life and its situations, getting them down, or their spirits are troubled, you know, by whatever the environment shoots their way, whether it's work environment or school. I'm stressed out, I got a final, or my boss is on my case to get this report done, or whatever the cares of the world. And I appreciate Dwayne's prayer also about how we need to just let those cares be out there. Just not even worry about them right now. But we know God our Father can resolve all our troubles and anxieties. Here's a few facts. Every year between 200,000 and 300,000 Americans give up seeking peace and attempt to commit suicide. It's pretty sad. Created in God's image, human beings give up and they try to commit suicide. Christmas Eve in New York City, the suicide hotline receives one call every minute from people who feel they can't face life anymore. Every minute in New York. And not all these people are unsaved. Too often you hear of God's people say, I don't have peace. Majority of people experience times of peace when the bottom drops out. Their peace goes with it. Why? Because we allow the cares of the world, we allow the physical demands of our life to rule over our spirit. And because our peace, more often times, is determined by others and situations, can no way be a lasting peace. It's very temporary. How long does your peace last every day? When you get up in the morning from hopefully a peaceful sleep and you face the day, how long does it last before somebody tries to take it away? Or on a monthly basis, does it make it to the end of your paycheck? Isn't it interesting how a lot of people tie their daily peace with the dollars they have? Does it vanish when someone says, I don't like you anymore? Are you now not at peace anymore? What's in your life that determines your peace? I guess that's the question. What determines your peace in your life? I hope that by the end of this lesson this morning, you'll have the true answer for what determines your peace. There's some excellent readings in Psalms 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. We know that God gives us that awesome peace and that blessing. This is one of my favorites in Proverbs 14 and 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body. In fact, in the medical world, they've tied stress and unrest to failing health. You know, all the symptoms, you can go in and get all these tests, as Duane shared with me the other day, and all the physical tests prove perfect health. Then why do I have these problems? My wife doesn't like this statement, but I really believe that if you really trust in your Father, stress in life is pretty much self-inflicted. You can say, well, my boss made me do that, or she makes me so mad, or my husband, I just can't deal with it anymore. No, if you have perfect peace, there's no excuses for not handling stress correctly in your life. Here's another great verse to ponder on, Psalms 85 and 10. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. There's a bond with righteousness and peace. And coming to the knowledge of that, as Josh alluded to earlier, about having the knowledge. Knowledge is survival in the spirit. Without knowledge, you cannot survive spiritually. Proverbs 29 and 17, about our future generations. Discipline your son and he will give you peace and he will bring delight to your soul. We all know the scripture says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Well, it's true. Discipline is very important as we grow up and as we learn right from wrong. Jesus tells us about the difference between the world's peace and his peace. If we turn to John in chapter 14, begin verse 27. It's a very powerful passage of scriptures here when Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Jesus was trying to establish that word I mentioned in the beginning, trust. He was saying, trust me. What I tell you is true. Trust me. As he trusts his Father, he wants us also to trust him and also obviously trust his Father. As we know, the world's peace is found in carnal things, situations, pleasures, places, relationships, all of which can change in an instant. The world's peace, at best, is temporary. It relies on external situations and is absolutely beyond anyone's control. John chapter 16, verse 33. Yes. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And there isn't a person in this building right now that has not experienced trouble in their life, from the youngest to the oldest, and it will not change. As long as we live in the flesh, we will experience trouble. That's not the problem. The problem is how are we going to handle it? The peace Jesus gives us is not like the world's peace. He spoke of peace knowing that he was going to the cross. He already knew he was going, and he knew he was going to die a terrible, terrible death, but he promoted peace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Turn there real quick, Edward, for another good reading. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. In our sin, peace cannot reign in our heart. We have to live according to the Spirit. We have to allow the Spirit control in our lives to have that peace. Everything his disciples had dreamed of for 3 years was coming to an end when he was talking to his disciples in John 14. Let's turn there. 14, verse, starting verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And here's getting back to that point I was making. We have to have trust. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. We have to understand that Jesus had paved the road. He had built a home. He had made preparations for each one of us before we even existed. And it's important to understand that and trust in that, that there is a place prepared, a special place for special people. The Greek word for peace means oneness, unity, and harmony. Peace moves in three directions in our lives. And some of you may or may not know this. We are to have peace with God. That's number one. Peace with our brothers. And finally, peace within ourselves. Without peace with God, you can't be at peace with your brothers, and you cannot be at peace within your own heart. Romans 12 and 18. We all know this scripture. As far as it lies within you, be at peace with all men. In other words, reach deep as far as possible. Just reach as deep as you can. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Peace doesn't come easy in the physical realm, brothers and sisters. It takes effort. You have to make every effort. And sometimes, like my father-in-law told me years ago, he said, sometimes, son, a poor compromise is better than a big fight. You know, everyone has an agenda. Everyone here has a spirit of selfishness within their heart. We all have it. We all live with it. We all deal with it every day. Well, I'm hungry. I got to eat. Or I have to go to work. I got to get out of here. I can't be late. We all have this little spirit within us of selfishness to take care of ourselves or to make ourselves do what we want to do to make ourselves feel good. You got to give it up. It's hard. It's a challenge to give up that little independence that's within each one of us for somebody else, to be at peace with your brother, to be at peace with your sister, your husband, your wife, your grandma, your grandpa, your siblings, whatever. It's hard to be humble sometimes. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Yes, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. This is an awesome prophecy about our hero, our number one hero, as Josh put it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Prince of Peace. He is the Prince. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you want to know peace, real peace, you know Jesus. And by knowing Jesus, you will know your Father. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Getting back to that basic concept of trust. If you don't have trust for your Father, you will never have perfect peace in your life. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, begin verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony. That's one of the definitions of the Greek word for peace, is harmony, with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. You know, Josh talked about a treasure. Peace is a treasure also in our lives today. A lot of people seek after it and they can't find it. Paul tells us, do not be anxious about everything. In the Philippian letter, he talks about our anxieties and our stresses. In spite of anything you see or feel, here's going to be the secret formula is coming up right here. We're going to find in Philippians and Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse, let's see what I write down here, 14, I think. I hope. Yep, that's the one. Jesus, he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier. There's the unity we're talking about. We found the harmony that we got to live with one another in harmony, but the unity comes with Christ because he made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. There is now the unity, the one Spirit that we all have and share. Remember those verses because that's part of the secret formula. And the final part is something that you can do daily, and it works. But before we get to that final part of this formula for secret peace, why do we become anxious or worried? Could it be our past sins haunting us, cause us to feel guilty? The devil loves that one. You know, the bones in the closet. He loves to bring those out. He loves for spouses to dig up old news, because that's his first step in tearing down another relationship. And as you all know, we've had plenty of relationships fail in the church in the last decade. And I hope that we can take a sober-minded look at the future and our relationships that are still here and intact. Perhaps you've forgotten or you refuse to accept God's forgiveness for your past sins and feel anxious about your personal relationships with him. Or maybe you're anxious about the future. You know, we all have things. We look down the road the best we can, the curves that may be coming ahead. We try to seek counsel, seek guidance. That doesn't mean everything's going to come out the way you want them to come out. Only God knows the future. He holds the future in his hand. But we can do the best we can. There's not much we can do about yesterday other than learn from it and try not to repeat the same mistakes. But finally, the peace that God has for us can't be analyzed. It goes beyond human understanding. And the final part of the solution, secret formula, is in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Not part of the time, not most of the time, or half the time, but always rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here's the important part. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's very specific, the formula here, very specific. and read what verse 7 says if you do what verse 6 says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an awesome formula for our lives in today's world. As it says there, it goes beyond human understanding. That peace will dwell in our hearts and minds. It will protect what we think and feel. It's a guard. It's like a sentry standing by. I'm sure every one of us here want to enjoy or to have God's peace, even the most painful situations. And you can reflect on your past, as I mentioned, and you can probably bring to mind real quick situations, experiences, relationships that have caused you pain and heartache in your past. But as we can see, God's peace will flood our soul like a healing balm and take care of us and keep us in perfect health. Peace in our heart will bring health to the body. The lesson is yours this morning. It's unto God. And I'd like to sing a song, 393, Peace, Perfect Peace. Sing the first, the fourth, and the sixth verse. And we'll let this be the invitation song for any that may be anxious about something, that may need the prayers or supplications of others, or the encouragement from one another, or those that may not have been baptized that would like to experience what the family of God has to offer. One of the greatest things is a peace by knowing, the peace knowing that Jesus made the two one, made unity, and created that long-lasting, forever and ever peace that we can have in our hearts and in our minds.